Well, today we're continuing on the series Toxic. And last week we began with toxic thoughts and how many of life's battles are either won or lost right here in our minds. And last week the catchphrase was, it's the thought that counts. And if you missed last week, no sweat. You can go to our website online to abundantlifechapel.ca. We record all of our sermons and post them online. Usually it takes about a couple of days for it to get onto our website, as there's a bit of a process that we have to go through, thanks to slow internet here in Lac Da Bonnie. And but if you want to listen to today's message or tell somebody about it, probably about Monday or Tuesday it'll be up. And while we're thinking about online, I want to give a quick shout out to all of our online listeners who are from Abundant Life and are enjoying warmer climates right now. And we're not liking you very much right now because it is cold here. And we're not the frozen chosen just yet, but we're getting there. So it'll be nice to have your fellowship again come March or April, all you down south for the winter. This morning, I am going to be tackling a topic that for some of us we might find a bit uncomfortable. But I feel it's an important conversation to have, especially when we live in an everything accessible society. Today, we're going to be talking about toxic influences. One of the greatest influences in the world today is media, specifically the entertainment industry. Now, how many know what this thing is, right? The VHS. It's the cassette of video entertainment, right? The VHS. And anybody remember, okay, I know it's a dual one, but what about this side? Anybody know what this side of this machine is? It's a VHS player. So the tape kind of goes in there like that, and you play it. Now, in my day, right, and in most of yours, to get those wonderful tapes, we didn't really necessarily own them. You had to go to a rental store and rent them, all right? Long before there was Netflix, there was Blockbuster, right? And we would go and rent a movie from the video store. Now, since the dawn of the digital age, everything has become more accessible to us. With the click or a swipe, we have the digital world or the world at our fingertips. And just as these things can be used for good, it can also be used for evil. What was once considered taboo or inappropriate has now become the norm. Could it be that society over time has become a little bit desensitized? And if this be true, how are we as followers of Christ guarding ourselves from these toxic influences? Our definition for toxic in the series is anything containing poisonous material capable of causing sickness or even death. Now, my purpose here this morning is not to give you a religious list of do's and don'ts. My purpose is to stir us as followers of Christ to use godly discernment when it comes to properly filtering the content that enters our homes and our lives. That we as followers of Christ set up safeguards to protect our homes from toxic influences that try to infiltrate. You see, we have a very real spiritual enemy. His name is the devil, Satan, Lucifer. He actually even has his own television show, believe it or not, where he's the good guy. Hard to comprehend, still trying to wrap my brain around that. The guy who wants to destroy all humanity and make humanity suffer the same hopeless fate that he will suffer one day. We're going to paint him as a good guy. Weird. But you see, he wants to flood our homes with toxic influences, right? And who is this guy, Satan? Well, Satan, according to the Bible in John 8:44, he calls him the father of lies. I mean, just think of this. Who else but a great deceiver could convince perfect people that they're not perfect? Only the devil. And he's been messing with the minds of people ever since. 1 Peter 5:8, says that he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's not looking for a playmate to play with. He's looking for somebody to devour, to destroy. And in John 10:10, I know we love to quote it that Jesus has come and gave us life and we have it more abundantly. But just before that, it says this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to come in and steal, kill, and destroy, and wipe off this earth the image of God. Who is the image of God? We are. God created us in his image. Have you ever seen or ever heard of the term grooming? Grooming. Now, grooming in my day was a little bit different than it is today. We'd take our dog to the groomers, right? No, grooming in today's term will make you sick and make you want to throw up in your mouth and make you angry all at the same time. Grooming is what sexual predators do to their victims in order to get what they want. They break down a person's barriers over a period of time in order to gratify their selfish, sadistic cravings. Sadly enough, this is what happens to many children in our world. The devil works in much the same way with all sorts of toxic influences, whether it's through discernment or through entertainment, rather, with toxic movies, music, television, online with toxic websites, videos, chat rooms, toxic video games, or toxic content on social media, or toxic friendships, which we'll discuss in further detail next week, right? The question we need to be asking ourselves is, what toxic influences am I allowing into my heart, soul, and mind? Anything that distracts us or draws us away from Jesus can be toxic to our soul. Carbon monoxide can be toxic. In low doses, it won't harm you or kill you, but in major doses, in concentrated doses, it can be what's referred to as the silent killer. Why? Because it's colorless, odorless, tasteless, and it's hard to detect. And when high doses of carbon monoxide build up, it can become very lethal. Toxic influences in our lives can operate the very same way. At low levels, it doesn't seem to do much harm, but when it builds up, it has the power to destroy and to kill. Proverbs 25, verse 26 says, like a muddied spring or a polluted well are the righteous who give way to the wicked. By allowing toxic influences into our souls, we become muddied or polluted. If all I eat is junk food and Twinkies, then my body will eventually pay the price. And it kind of has paid the price if I had a little few too many snacks at yesterday's leadership conference in Winnipeg. We won't talk about that, but if I don't brush my teeth at least twice a day, I may eventually have no teeth. If I don't give my body the proper rest and nourishment and exercise it needs, it'll eventually take its toll and shut down on me. If I'm rude, ignorant, or mean to people around me, chances are pretty good that I will become a very lonely person. Allowing toxic influences into our lives, we will eventually become muddied and polluted. This morning, I want us to remember three things when it comes to potentially toxic influences. Number one, a little bit of poison can go a long way. Paul, a first century follower of Jesus, who wrote nearly of the half of the New Testament portion of the Bible, was talking to the church in Corinth about how yeast easily spreads through a batch of dough. Yeast, when talked about in the Bible, you need to understand, is often referred to as an analogy for sin. Right? So when I read 1 Corinthians 5 and 6, I want you to think about in your minds how sin can overtake the whole person. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works through a whole batch of dough? In verse 7, get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Now let me reword this a little bit to add a little, not to add or take away, but just to explain it in a little more clear detail. A little bit of poison can pollute the whole person. through a little bit of sin, or though a little bit of sin won't completely mess you up at first, it does have the capacity to grow and fester, kind of like a small wound that isn't properly treated. It gets all infected, and though it might be a mere flesh wound, eventually that wound can fester and become septic and affect the whole body. Paul's advice is get rid of the old yeast, get rid of sin, or in our case this morning, get rid of toxic influences so that you may be a new batch without yeast. Treat it properly and accordingly so that it doesn't spread or become lethal, because a little bit of poison can go a long way. It can go a long way. During my days in Bible college, there's a few pranks that were pulled. And I wasn't much of a pranker myself because I really didn't like to be pranked. But people pranked me nonetheless. And I actually had a youth leader years ago prank me, and she felt the wrath of I don't get mad and I don't get even, I escalate. I raise the bar. So anyways, that's a funny story for another time. I can tell you about it. But anyways, to prove my point here this morning, me and some fellow Bible college students decided that enough was enough, and that we wanted to do something to these prankers. And so with the help, we concocted a plan to make some special cookies. Double chocolate chip cookies. Sounds harmless, doesn't it? However, included in the dose of was an extra ingredient of X-Lax. And X-Lax was melted down and was mixed into the cocoa of the recipe. And then afterwards, after these yummy cookies were, and I got to tell you, the tempters, or the guys that were pulling the prank, we just about gave in to temptation and just ate the cookies ourselves because they smelled so good, right? But what we did is we anonymously placed these delicious smelling cookies into each of the vans of a couple of college ministry teams that were going out for the weekend. Needless to say, they were quite regular for the weekend. But it's amazing how a little bit can cause such problems. A little bit of something, it's amazing what a little bit of something can do. A little bit of poison can go a long way. Number two, just because everyone does it doesn't make it right. Right? Wow, did I ever sound like my mom there. But mom was right, because mama's always right. Especially when it came to this kind of stuff, just because everyone else is doing it doesn't make it right. I want to look briefly at Romans chapter 12, verse 2 from the Message version of the Bible. Now, it's not a literal translation of the Bible, but more of a devotional Bible. For those that know Romans 12, 2, you'll see what I mean as I read it. But for those that are not accustomed to any version of the Bible, you'll find this very simple to understand and comprehend. And this is how it words it in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Anybody else just kind of feeling just a little uncomfortable here? Just because everybody else does it doesn't make it right. In fact, oftentimes the majority can be wrong, For instance, in the book of Numbers chapter 13, 12 spies went out to spy in the land of Canaan. And we all know the cute little song, 12 spies went into Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? Well, 10 came back and said, yeah, the land is perfect and it's great and it's awesome, but listen, there's giants there and there's fortified cities. We haven't got a chance. So 10 of them said, let's not do it. And 2 of the 12 said, hey, the land is good. God promised it. It's ours for the taking. Let's go get it. And the people, what did they do? They went with the majority vote. And an entire generation, with the exception of two spies, missed out on God's promise. They missed out on God's promise. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't make it pleasing to God or helpful for to you. Just because everyone else does it doesn't make it right. A little bit of poison can go a long way. Just because everybody else is doesn't mean we should. Doesn't mean we should. And number three, just because I could doesn't mean I should. Just because I could doesn't mean I should. Now listen, we have a tremendous freedom in Christ. We really do. We really do. But that freedom doesn't give us the license to do whatever we want. We can't just claim grace and then keep on sinning. That's not what grace is for. Grace does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And when we do know what's wrong and still do it, that's what it is called sin. It's called sin. And sin kills. Sin kills. The Bible is very clear about that. The wages of sin is death, right? Is death. It messes people's lives up. It messes up marriages, relationships, friendships, and affects our spiritual growth and spiritual condition. Sure, you can speed on the highway and still go to heaven, but you might get there a little quicker than the rest of us. But yeah, you could if you want to, but should you? No. Especially because you might get a consequence of a fine for breaking the law or something worse. I remember complaining to my father-in-law. He was the wrong guy to complain with, by the way. But about a ticket that I had received when I was dating. He was my father-in-law-to-be because I was dating Melanie at the time. I was going down to Bible camp down at Manhattan Beach. Woohoo! Whoop, whoop for Manhattan Beach. And I was going down to council for kids camp. And I was running late. There was counselors meeting, and I was running late. I was interning at Evangel Chapel, which is now New Beginnings. That's where we were yesterday. Brought back a flood of memories. Wow, nostalgic. Anyways, as I'm driving down, I had somebody tell me all the cops won't pull you over if you're doing under 118 on the highway. And I thought, okay, well, it's 116. I should be fine. And I mean, my car is less than desirable. It was an old AMC Hornet that was held together with duct tape. And it was just gorgeous. I mean, it looked like baby, like pukey baby food. That's the color of it. It was gross, you know, and with the moon disc hubcaps. Anyways, I'm driving down the highway, and all of a sudden the sirens go on, and I get pulled over, and the cop says, do you realize how fast you were going? I said, oh, not really, officer. Was I speeding? You know, lie, right? Anyways, and I said, hey, listen, I'm just on my way to Bible camp, and I'm counseling for the week, and I don't know if he said this, but I wonder if he said this. Well, you should have known better, son. Anyways, I got a ticket. Now, the fines back then weren't that bad. They were only, it was like $35, but I got two demerits, right? And I had to work off those demerits and stuff. But I remember complaining to my father-in-law, and I was upset by this ticket. I was like, I was hardly going over the speed limit. And I got this ticket. He just said, were you speeding? I said, no. Like, I was only doing 116. Cops don't pull you over unless you do. He says, were you speeding? I said, listen, other people go much faster than I do on the highway, and they don't get pulled over. He says, were you speeding? I said, come on. Like, it's not. He said, but were you speeding? Yeah. He said, then pay the consequence. I had deserved what I got. And now I'm caught up to Mulaney with a perfect driving record. I accomplished that just a few years ago. And yes, I got full 15 marks and I stay right by the speed limit. Kind of. Give or take a little bit of grace. That's not how it works, people. It's not how it works. If it says 100, do 100. Anyways, there are things I can do that may not cause me to lose my soul or my salvation, but just because I could doesn't mean I should. Doesn't mean I should. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. He says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. With that being said, I want you to know that we have tremendous freedom in Christ. And God is not about to kill or be a killjoy to ruin our fun. But at the same time, there are things that just aren't beneficial for us at all. Just because I could doesn't mean I should. And again, my purpose here today isn't to tell you, give you a list of religious do's and don'ts. My purpose here is to stir us as followers of Christ to use godly discernment when it comes to properly filtering the content that enters into our lives and into our homes. That we, as Christ followers, will set up guards to protect our homes from toxic influences, because a little bit of poison can go a long way. But here's the reality I want us to digest. When we choose to be followers of Christ, to one day be citizens of heaven, we must realize that our lives are no longer ours, but they belong to Him. Right? It's my life and I'll live the way I want to doesn't quite cut it anymore, because we have been bought with a high price. Jesus laid down His life and paid for us with His blood. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives within me. I am not my own, because when I was 8 years old, I decided to live for Jesus. I decided to live for Him and not for myself anymore. So what do we do? How do we know what to consume and what not to consume? Let me just say, sometimes it's incredibly obvious when you know that it's poison to you and you just walk away and don't consume it. Some people may say, well, let your conscience be your guide. Well, if your conscience has been seared a little bit or compromised, that's not going to really work, is it? Or if we buy into that, well, it's just this one time, what harm can it be? I think it would be much wiser to say, let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Because you know where the Holy Spirit will direct you? It'll direct you to Jesus. But He directs us also to the Father and to what the Father has commanded in His Word, the Bible. Everything God ever wanted to say to you on every subject is found in the Bible. And so here's some sound advice that He gives us through His servant Paul. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, test everything, hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil, every kind of evil. So let that just sink in. Test it. Is this good or is this not good? If it's good, hold on to it. If it's evil, avoid it. What kind of evil do we avoid? Say it with me. Every kind. Say it again. Every kind of evil. If it's sin, if it's wrong, if it's not helpful, if it's hurtful to God, if it's hurtful to us, we're to avoid it. That's what we do. If it's good, we cling to it. If it's not good, we avoid it. And here's three quick questions that can be helpful in our testing process. Am I being entertained by sin? And that's a hard one. That's a hard one. And is that article, is that book, is that music, is that movie, is that website, is that wrong to God? Am I being entertained by sin? Somebody might say, but the movie was just so funny and hilarious. I get it. I love funny movies, and I love to laugh. I get it. But what if I were to stand up here and tell you a racial joke right now? And let's say it was horribly funny. Would it be good? Would it be all right? Would it be acceptable? Right? No, it wouldn't. Funny doesn't make it right or wrong. It's still wrong, right? That's a high standard. I know I'm aiming a little bit high here, guys, for some of you. And some of you guys are like, hey, about time, Pastor. Next one is it pleasing to God? Because here's the thing. God's not my buddy. He's not bobblehead Jesus giving me the thumbs up. He's a holy creator and a sustainer of this universe and beyond. He's so holy that no mortal man can look upon His purest form, His purest essence, and live. We are to live in such a way to bring Him glory and honor. If it's not pleasing to Him, let's not get involved in it. And see, does it lure me away from Christ? If it does, then let's stay away from it. Because here's the problem. We use the argument, well, what I'm consuming isn't really that bad. It could be worse. Really? We're going to use that as our standard. Many Christians spend more time, and I'm guilty of this. I want to just tell you, I'm guilty of this, of spending more time in front of the screen than we do with the one who gave us life. We spend more time on one of these than in one of these. And I'm just as guilty. I want to just tell you here, I'm not pointing the finger at any one of you, because if I point the finger at one, I've got three pointing back at me. Toughest place to be here this morning, the toughest place to be is right here, preaching this message, because I know there's areas in my life that I need to deal with. And I've been convicted by the Holy Spirit all week long, and it has been tough. I've been miserable, actually. Actually, been downright miserable, because God's been doing a work in me and showing me things. And I was at the Advanced Leadership Conference yesterday, and there was just, again, I'll never forget this. Dr. Jeremy Martini stood up, and he was supposed to give a talk on theology, right? And the church or the PAOC stance on marijuana, because it's legalized in our world, and the whole thing on the LGBTQ and all these kind of things. I was thinking, oh, good. Okay, prof, let's see where you're going to go with this. This is highly controversial in our world. He says, it's not our job as Christians to go and convert the world. It's to make disciples of the people. He says, we're not going out there to change people's minds and convert them over to our way of thinking. Our job is that if we do our jobs discipling well, these will not become issues for our body. And there will be answers and there will be freedom, right? We so many times measure it on our standards. God has given us a standard to measure things by. I mean, I didn't say exactly what all he said, but that was the takeaway I got from that. Because when people are looking at the church today, it's very different than what it used to be. And I'm not talking about 30, 40, 50 years ago. I'm talking about a couple centuries ago. Because things have changed in the church. They've changed. Listen, this is a tough message, and I didn't want to even preach it. In fact, I tried to avoid it with the plague, but God was just gravitating to me. Gravitating me towards this message today. Paul lays out a good standard to follow. Here's a good standard that we can apply to our lives. In Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Turn to your neighbor and say, think about such things, right? And then he goes into verse 9, he says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, here it is, people, put it into practice, and then the God of peace will be with you. Listen, I've been called in Lloydminster as I was the pastor, as I was the associate pastor there at Lloydminster Gospel Fellowship. I remember a guy used to call me Pastor 2x4. And he would say, thanks, Pastor. I feel like you whacked me again. You whacked me again. Just so that you know, I'm feeling whacked today. So if you're feeling convicted in the room today, maybe you're needing to do some inward evaluation like myself. The most uncomfortable spot, as I said today, is preaching this message. And I'm feeling the Holy Spirit working in my life. Some of us, the best things we can do right now is to do some detox, right? We go on these cleanses to restart our diets. We go on these cleanses to purify ourselves from all the sugars. Now, I want to just point something out here. Not all fat in life. Fatty foods, not all fatty foods are harmful for your body, because your body does need some fatty foods, right? But it's the type of fat that it needs. We need to decide what's toxic and what's not. And only the Holy Spirit, not me, only the Holy Spirit through his word will powerfully convict us. Because if you just take my word at it, then it's only as good as me. But if you take God's word at it, I'm not your measuring stick of comparison, people. And I don't say that just to let me off the hook. I'm not the measuring stick that you should measure your lives by. We are all to measure our lives by Christ. He set the bar high, but that's okay. He's not going to knock us down every time we don't meet it. He's going to be there and say, okay, let's dust off, let's get cleaned up, and let's continue on again. That's what grace does. Grace isn't just, oh, sorry, God, I sinned again. I knew I shouldn't have done that. No, it's not like that. Let's stop cheapening grace. Grace does for us what we can't do for ourselves, but there are things that we can do ourselves that grace wasn't meant to do, if that makes sense. This makes sense in my head, but so maybe we need to do some detoxing. Maybe for you, it's putting down that book, that novel that you're reading, that fictional book, or maybe turning off your screen, turning off your music, unplugging the internet, opening your Bible, and I don't mean the digital copy. Get a hard copy. Get a hard copy. And listen, if you don't have a hard copy, I can hook a brother or a sister up. You know what I'm saying? I can hook you up with a hard copy. Because I think there's something just about this, because there's no alerts that are going to happen when you open this. It's not going to bang at you, and it's not going to have the capability to do anything other than give you spiritual food. Right? So maybe we just need to turn things off. Right? It's time to stop allowing toxic influences to infiltrate our lives and our homes and start granting the Holy Spirit VIP access. Think about it, talk about it, pray about it, and let the Holy Spirit work in you only as He can. It's not legalism. It's freedom to do what pleases God, because God gave us that freedom. So listen, if you're here today and you're kind of looking for verses to kind of contend with me on the subject of that, listen, if you're feeling bothered by this message, it could be that God's convicting you of this message, right? And listen, this is the neat thing about God. He knows that you're not perfect. None of us can achieve perfection. And perfection isn't found in what we do. It's because He is perfect. He makes us perfect. But He enables us with His perfection to be able to rise above these toxic influences in our lives and take ownership and take authority, because some of us, we're being slowly poisoned. We're being slowly poisoned. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that God, as we take a look at your word this week, Father, maybe some of us need to get onto a Bible reading plan. Maybe some of us just need to unplug for a while so that we can detox. Lord God, maybe we've been spending our money in foolish ways, and we say at the end of the day we don't have enough to give you in the offering plate, but yet we have a lot to sow into worldly and maybe even sinful activity. So God, I pray that, Father, wherever we're at, And many of us are in this room, are at different places in our faith and in our maturity with Christ. So Lord, let us not be concerned about what somebody's doing to the right of me or to the left of me. Let us be concerned of what you want to do in me. In me. So Lord, as we move forward, God, we be the church that you've called us to be. So Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you are such a gracious God, and that you love us, and that you want us to thrive in this life, and you want us to move forward. So God, use us. Talk to us this week, Lord. Talk to us this week. Lord, maybe we create times and opportunities for you to speak to us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I know that you're already speaking to some of us in this room. And thank you, Lord, for speaking into me. In Jesus' holy name, amen.